Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm Paul Vogelsang, and this is episode number 286. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Art of Living interview series, this is going to be a fun interview. I'll tell you that right up front. The focus of the interview is the photography of Rodney Smith, an amazing photographer. Because this is an audio interview, I'll also say right up front that you will enjoy this even more if you click on our website, notold-better.com, and look at some of Rodney Smith's photography. No doubt you've seen it either as advertising work or art, or as some of the most lush, whimsical, black and white with some color images that you've ever seen. Rodney Smith passed away in 2016, but we will hear Rodney Smith's voice at the end of the show posthumously after we speak to Leslie Smolin. I'll introduce Leslie Smolin in just a moment, but first let me tell you a bit more about photographer Rodney Smith. Rodney Smith was a prominent American photographer whose whimsical work combined portraiture and landscapes to create these beautiful images that will surprise you. Using only film, light, no retouching, no Photoshop, and often shooting memorable images in just one take, Rodney Smith worked to produce an exquisite artifact, the print. Think about it, nothing digital. Something in this day and age, it's hard to imagine, but no special effects. And Rodney Smith knew the darkroom like the back of his hand. He was old school with a twist. Rodney Smith was a surrealist. He loved paper. He shared his vision with a sense of humor, optimism, and grace. Check out the photography on the site and you'll know immediately. But you'll hear a wonderful description of Rodney Smith, his style, his work, and his working relationship from Leslie Smolin, Rodney Smith's wife. Leslie Smolin is, in her own right, a very talented person and is serving as the executive director of the Rodney Smith Estate, but is also founder of the world-renowned branding and design firm Carbone Smolin, based in New York City. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via internet phone, Leslie Smolin. Leslie Smolin, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. We met a few weeks ago, and I attended one of your presentations about photographer Rodney Smith. It was really a wonderful presentation, and about a photographer that I have seen the work, but I certainly did not know what I know now. Tell us a little bit about Rodney's iconic images. Give us that theater of the mind. And with permission, we'll post a few of those images to the website.
Yeah, that would be terrific.
Well, go ahead and tell us about that, because this is a very creative man.
Extremely creative. Rodney had a very singular view of the world as a place of magic, delight, beauty, and whimsy. I think very few photographers have this uniquely focused vision where you instantly look at the picture and know it's them. I think that's always the challenge for many photographers. His images actually feel like fairy tales. They're timeless narratives that actually seem to pose more questions than provide answers. So when you look at the pictures, I think people often wonder, who is that person? What are they doing? Why are they doing what they're doing? What happened a minute ago and what's going to happen next? And so they're images that constantly make you engage with them. It's not like you look and dismiss them. You look at them over and over and over.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. I wanted to start with that question too, Leslie, and you answered it. You answered it so well. It's very clear you have an understanding of this. You have an eye for this yourself, and you benefited, I think, from a couple of roles that you played in Rodney's life. Of course, you were Rodney's partner, his wife, and best friend. But then you also are this very talented agency director and founding partner of Carbone Smolin. You kind of come at Rodney's work, his creativity, with a unique perspective. And so I'm wondering, what was it about Rodney's creativity that you kind of protected almost as his wife? And then how did you guide that professionally with your Carbone Smolin hat on? And I guess the final question in this long one is, Did Rodney go along with some of that guidance?
Yeah, that's probably the most important question. Well, you know, we met professionally first. There was a creative director I judged a show with in Connecticut, and I was actually house hunting in Connecticut. So we were introduced over the phone, and he tried to show me his portfolio, and I tried to get rid of him because a lot of photographers try to show me their work. And I almost, and this is a really telling aspect of him as well, because he was so persistent. I was just about to get rid of him because he wasn't in New York. And I had said, well, drop off your portfolio if you're ever around and I was free, which wouldn't happen. And I was about to hang up the phone and he said, oh, by the way, I live in Connecticut and there's a house for sale down the street. So he instantly knew my need and how to engage me. So it was really, it's funny. But, you know, he was really a true artist in that he was considered difficult, but only because he cared more about the photograph than about anything else, including being polite. I think to answer your question about guiding him, I was always trying to get him to try new things, to break out of his comfort zone. I encouraged him to say yes, even though his first response to everything was no. He was so stubborn about the quality of his work. And I think this is because if he couldn't do it perfectly, he didn't want to do it at all. So, you know, initially he had a really strong belief that only black and white photography was art. And so he wouldn't shoot color. And then later on, he convinced himself there was a good reason to shoot color because the print, the paper now could let him produce something of the right quality. So then he agreed to do it. There are other times where there would be a photograph that looked like it needed special effects. And he would say, oh, I'm not that kind of photographer. I don't do that. And then he'd think about it and he'd figure out how to do that in camera and actually use the idea of depth of field and focus to actually create the illusion, but do it in camera. But you're right. There was this kind of professional, personal crossover. He would always say, I don't want you to art direct me. So he was very stubborn. And so I resorted at the end to giving my suggestions to his stylist, who would then tell him, and he'd say, oh, that's a good idea. So if it didn't come from me, I think that could be the husband-wife dynamic.
Definitely.
That work.
Definitely. Thank you for that. You worked together on a wonderful book known as The Hat Book, and you both co-authored it. It's really, it's a beautiful book. It's filled with some interesting prose, but I wonder if you'd tell us about it rather than have me do that, and maybe tell us about some of your favorite parts of that and maybe what Rodney's favorite part of the book was.
So as I said earlier, I met him when I was house hunting in Connecticut. And the minute I saw his pictures, I was just literally stunned by the quality of the work. It wasn't like any other photographer's work I'd ever seen. This was a lot of his early work, which were the portraits of farmers and workers, and just had this incredible intensity to it. And I had recently been introduced to the man who owned the Bowman Hat Company, which was in Adamstown, Pennsylvania. And the place itself was so picturesque. It was like a place that time forgot, a dusty Rube Goldberg-esque factory lit by floor-to-ceiling windows with mismatched light bulbs and fly swatters jerry-rigged onto these big black machines that were combing wool. And the workers were like ghosted by half hidden clouds of steam. So it just looked like his pictures. And I thought, wow, it would be kind of fun to do this. I think I was also at a point in my own life where I had worked for quite a while and had corporate clients and just thought it would be fun to do a self-generated project. So we ended up photographing friends. We made up these scenarios of who would wear hats and why. And we realized that hats really transform people. They're definitely disguises, they're fashion items, they make you feel different, they make you feel bigger. Rodney felt that really hats completed the man. It sort of balanced out your body. So we decided that we would do these short essays. We invited some of our favorite writers, some including Susan Shreve and the milliner Patricia Underwood. Someone writing about the factory. There was another friend of his, Dana Wickware, who wrote an essay about his father. So very personal essays. There was one about when hats disappeared. And then we paired them with funny quotes. And the whole back section of the book is a directory where you can find great hat stores. My favorite quote is probably one of the funnier ones from The Cat in the Hat, which says, look at me now, said the cat, with a cup and a cake on the top of my hat. Rodney's was probably, his probably favorite one was the one by Marguerite Duras, which is the crucial ambiguity, the image lies in the hat. So it's quite a range. But it was interesting because this really was, I think, the seminal moment, the kind of inflection point where Rodney shifted from his old life. He was entering the world of commercial photography, but starting to shoot pictures that felt like fashion, that had style and were not about these individuals was a big departure from what he'd done in the past. And of course, the book was beautifully produced. We obsessed about printing. We went to great lengths to actually print it in a very old-fashioned way. For us, it was something we created together, and I think that really cemented our relationship as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What would you tell us to look for as we're looking at some of Rodney's work?
Well, the first thing I would tell you to look at is his sense of design and composition. There's a sense of symmetry, balance, alignment, contrast, and razor sharp detail. That's really a hallmark of his work. The figure and the landscape are perfectly integrated. Often the figure is centered right in the frame. If you are a fan of Wes Anderson's filmmaking, he has the same central, strong orientation to his work, which is a lot of fun. And there are some similarities between them as well. And then if you watched Rodney shoot, you'd see him move around a location and suddenly stop when he saw something that excited him, whether it was only a sense of light or space. This was never an intellectual decision, but rather an emotional one. He was basically trying to harmonize himself with the landscape so he could get to a place where he felt right, which meant he felt peaceful and that there was some sense of resolve. Being a very anxious person, there was something about the act of taking pictures that got him out of his head and let him just totally move with instinct. So that's the number one thing. I think this idea of composition is critical. The second is that he used light to reveal his subjects, which are rendered in this very broad spectrum of tones, ranging from crisp white highlights to deep velvety shadows. He had mastered the zone system, which is a technique for optimal film exposure that Ansel Adams had developed. They often say expose for the highlights and develop for the shadows, so that you basically edit the image in camera. Now, what this means is if you were standing right next to him and you saw exactly what he saw, what showed up on film was nothing like what you saw, which is hugely surprising, particularly for me as a creative director, because I prided myself on envisioning what the photograph was supposed to be and how it looked. And I discovered pretty quickly working with Roddy that I had to just give up and let him do what he wanted to do, because what he created was so much better. The third thing, which is also interesting, is that if you look at his images of men and women, they're quite different. He was an old school romantic. He loved the beauty, delicacy, graciousness, and ethereality he found in women. His pictures are homages to the feminine ideal. he would often tell me that we modern women had squandered our gift by trying to be more like men. You know, that we were so interested in being in the workforce and being respected. And in fact, we had sort of screwed it up for ourselves. The pictures of men are generally funnier as you make them strike poses that were more acrobatic and sometimes even dangerous. Buddy was fearful of a lot of things, but ironically, not heights. So when casting male models, he'd ask them to do handstands, cartwheels. He wanted to see how they could move. And then you'd see the pictures of the men are leaping from rooftops and perching on the wings of huge airplanes, all things that have a kind of kinetic energy and look hugely dangerous. So those are big things that I don't know at the surface you'd notice instantly.
Again, we'll post some links about where you can find Rodney's photography. We are, of course, with Leslie Smolin, accomplished in her own right as founder of the Carbone Smolin Agency, a brand strategy agency, and then wife of photographer Rodney Smith. And we're talking about Rodney's photography. I want to talk, Leslie, a little bit about Rodney, the man. I know from my research that Rodney has a graduate degree in theology. Did that influence his photography? What I'm referring to is perhaps the meditative qualities that, you know, come from the study of theology, or maybe the religion aspect of it. Was that something that calmed him and gave him a sense as to his purpose with photography as well as his style?
I think it's a great question, and I think exactly what you're saying is what Roddy wanted out of studying theology. I think he was absolutely looking for this sense of peacefulness and a kind of spiritual life that he felt that he would get by understanding religion and hopefully participating in it. So I think at the end of the day, he wanted to know why we exist. And more importantly, why did he exist? Why was he here? He wanted to understand what it meant to be human. He really wanted to believe in God or a higher power. And he was super envious of people who had strong religious faith. But he just couldn't make that leap of faith himself. And this left him feeling empty and alone, on the outside looking in. And I think this is part of his story as well. He was always the classic outsider, whether he did that to himself or not. But he wanted to be part of things, but he felt that he was just not able to do that. And whether that was because he also saw himself as a unique person, that he didn't want to lose himself in these groups of others, that might have been part of it. But I think definitely the theology was both a way to distance himself from his parents, who he thought were all about surface and superficial, and go deeper, find something more meaningful about why we live.
I wonder about Rodney's imagination. Do you think that he developed that over time? Was that just something always part of him? Was it learned? Did you help create some of that?
I hope so. I hope so. You know, it's interesting because the stories are that when he was little, he grew up in the basement. He was like the recluse, and he played with his chemistry set, and he didn't come out. And he was nervous and scared. And then I think as he got older, the whimsical side of him emerged. Certainly being wanted and appreciated helped give him confidence to be less neurotic and less serious. I think there's some early examples of that whimsy in the pictures, the chicken in La Vallée taken in Haiti, where he finds a moment that's visually funny, where the chicken looks like it's falling off a chest, and the window above it is skewed somewhat to the right as the chicken goes left. The hat pictures that use bells and trays in lieu of hats had this kind of whimsical quality, which he just started to find and fell across. Then I think as he did them, and he liked them and others liked them, I think he kind of let loose his whimsical side. and really started to create more moments of humor. Part of this was also his collaboration with his longtime stylist, Renata Lindler, where she would make all those props, you see. So whether it's a huge clock or a dress that goes on for, you know, 14 feet or, you know, something, the clothing, there, the two of them really started to play together and get funnier together. So I think that really helped to create the storybook quality of his pictures.
Well, Leslie Smolin, it's just been such a pleasure to speak with you. I really just have kind of one final question, and it has to do with the documentary that you are working on right now. We're gonna hear Rodney's voice actually in a moment from the documentary about his life. But set it up for us, if you would, and maybe tell us about the film. You know, where you are in the progress of making it.
Thank you. Rodney was such an interesting person, and so many of us who had the great fortune to spend time with him, just so. He's still in us. He's in our heads. And Safi Majid is one of those people. He studied with Rodney. He took a workshop and said, I would like to make a documentary about you. Are you comfortable letting me make it be whatever I want it to be? And Rodney said, sure, which I don't know if a lot of people would do, you know, warts and all. So Safi interviewed Rodney extensively over a period of 3 years. He interviewed every single person in Rodney's life. He interviewed relatives of relatives. He did extensive research. So he's got a huge amount of material. And the film is about how Rodney used photography to channel his fears and create the world that he wanted to live in, which was this place of beauty, refinement, and whimsy. So it's definitely the struggle that I think he and probably other people have of how do you balance your fears and anxiety as a human being with what your potential is. And our current working title is Mr. Smith Goes to Wonderland.
I love that.
Which I think captures, obviously, the smile he puts on all of our faces when we look at the pictures. We're about midway through the process. Again, we have probably most of the footage is all in place. And the next step is we're looking for investors and distributors. So anybody who's interested in participating can certainly touch base with us. And we'd love to engage them in the process of bringing this to life.
Well, let's take a listen to this clip.
Have I said everything I wanted to say? Have I found out everything I wanted to find out? Do I relate to the world the same way I related it to it 45 years ago? Does the world relate to me in the same way it did 45 years ago? And I would say the answer to all of those questions is an emphatic no. But still there is this desire within me to make photographs. And I think my response to those pictures is pretty this much the same as it was 45 years ago. They never seem good enough. They never seem resolved enough. There are moments of incredible happiness and bliss followed by disappointment. But on the other hand, I still love the process of making pictures. I mean, it was pretty clear to me that photography was not only a way into myself, but a way out. It was probably the opportunity to really understand myself or know myself, both psychologically, but also as existentially about how I fit in the world. And the interesting thing about that is that the way I got to know myself is by knowing people and the world around me.
Well, thank you, Leslie Smolin, for sharing the clip with us, sharing your time, sharing some of your recollections of prominent American photographer Rodney Smith. What a pleasure it's been to talk to you, meet you, and see Rodney's work. But thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Paul. This has really been terrific. I loved every minute of it.
I've enjoyed it too. We're going to put links up where people can find more information about the film and Rodney and how to get in touch with you about supporting it. But thank you again so much.
Thank you.
My thanks to the Smithsonian team for making this interview possible, as well as my thanks go to Leslie Smolin and the Rodney Smith Estate for permission to post some of the Rodney Smith's gorgeous photography. By the way, we will keep you posted as to the Rodney Smith documentary film. So please, everybody, let's talk about Better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.